Welcome back to Talk of the Town. And on the phone right now, we have my first guest. This is Mr. Matt Rosenberg. Mr. Rosenberg is the author of What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Mr. Rosenberg, welcome to Talk of the Town.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Looking forward to our conversation. We've been watching what's been happening in cities like Portland and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Chicago, for a while now. And what we're going to be talking about here is why this is happening. And you have maybe some suggestions on how to fix it. But what incentivized you to finally sit down and write this book?
I was watching what was happening last year after the horrific death of George Floyd up in Minneapolis. I had lived in Chicago for 30 years, from the age of 6 years old, right up into my mid-30s, 1964 through 1994. So strong attachment to the place, still really a Chicagoan at heart, raised our children in Seattle. Then watching everything blow up last year, I felt, you know, and I had a background in journalism and public policy and advocacy even, I felt I had to get beyond the news stories. I had to go back and dig in. And I moved back in, and I started going deep into the south side of the city, which is where I grew up, and talking to black people in their homes and workplaces about what in the world was going on and what they thought was the way out of all of this. So that was what led to this book.
And, you know, you point out in the book that maybe the pandemic and the shutdowns and the people being put out of work have kind of led to some of these things, but they were kind of happening before COVID was a thing. And you know, for years, Chicago has been well known for just massive numbers of shootings and murders. Every weekend, the numbers that come out of Chicago are just staggering. But it has gotten worse over the last few years, hasn't it?
It has. And last year in particular, you know, I think in the end, this comes down to public policy and political leadership, also citizen engagement. But to me, the biggest thing, and it sounds really old-fashioned, is moral authority, living with moral authority. What does that mean? You know, I think we all have a pretty good idea what that really means. Working hard, saving, investing, following the goal, and for parents, particularly doing your job as a mother and as a father. And so what we have in Chicago and what's been driving the horrible numbers, you know, the weekend murder report comes every Monday, and if it's less than 50 shot and 9 killed, it's been a good weekend. So that's quite a statement when you think about it. So all it takes is 5% of the households in a city of that size to not be on track, for the parents to not be living with what I'm going to call moral authority, and it can, you know, engender a tyranny of the minority. And that's what we've got in Chicago now. It's not safe to be anywhere. It used to be, you know, white people were fine if it was in their own minds, if it was confined to the south side and the west side where the people of color live, so long as it didn't come up to the north side. Of course, there's great hypocrisy there for a lot of the white progressives. You know, black lives have never really mattered. But now that, you know, armed robbery crews are jumping out of cars near downtown and Michigan Avenue, and assaulting people on the sidewalk, taking their wallets and phones, carjacking their vehicles, maybe shooting or killing them, into the bargain. Now white people are upset. Well, you know, they've been afraid to really talk about what's going on. They've been afraid to talk about the teachers' union restricting school choice. They've been afraid to talk about the chief judge and the chief prosecutor, you know, instituting a revolving door policy for criminals. So there's a lot of stuff we can't be afraid of talking about anymore in Chicago. And of course, these issues pop up in our other big cities in the country. So we've got some serious reckoning to do, by my estimation.
The timing on this is interesting, too, that you and I are speaking today, because just yesterday there was an article published at City Journal by Thomas Hogan that is titled Chicago Police Department versus Kim Fox. And he basically points out exactly what you're talking about. What can police do when a prosecutor won't prosecute? And we've seen that happen time after time after time now, especially in the wake of the George Floyd killing. This concept of defunding the police and just sending in community organizers to take care of all this stuff. It's obvious that that's not working and it's not going to work. And if you just don't, if you teach people that there will be no recourse, no punishment at all for any crimes that they commit, well, then what's the fear? Why would they not?
Absolutely. And, you know, behind all of this, I believe there's a toxic brew of leftism, incompetence, a form of political ambition that puts holding power over using it wisely, and finally, corruption. So you combine these four things, and we end up, for example, with a conception of criminal justice that is about social justice or somebody's idea of what social justice means. So we end up with a prosecutor like Kim Fox being reelected, by the way, in 2020 by a very wide margin over a Republican challenger. We end up with a prosecutor like that who believes her job is really to administer social justice. We end up with a chief judge, Tim Evans, another high-ranking elected official of color, who instituted bail reform in 2017 and took a decent idea of, low cash or no cash bail for first-time nonviolent offenders, and somehow or other all of his judges in Cook County Criminal Court are now applying this formula to hardened criminals, guys with prior convictions, guys who just got arrested for carjacking. They're not locked up until trial. They're let right back out. They slap an ankle bracelet on them. There's no money really to enforce the ankle bracelet when they go off the reservation. And all too often they go out and commit more crimes, more carjackings, shootings, and even murders. So people are literally up in arms, and literally too, because for many people they conclude the only way I can protect myself is to buy a gun. So it's just gone fairly amok in Chicago, and it all sort of traces back in the end to our universities, where these prosecutors and judges and politicians have all been educated that, there have to be equalized outcomes in every category of public policy, but we have unequal inputs, right? And so in my mind, that's part of the situation here. We're not willing to face reality and call on everybody to step up and do better at the personal level and the family level.
I talk a lot on this show about accountability, and I think one of the problems we have in our society right now is that there is a total lack of accountability, not just for the people who are committing these crimes that we're talking about, but for the elected officials, as you mentioned, Kim Fox. I mean, just complete incompetence and an unwillingness to do the job that she was elected to do, and yet she turns right around and is overwhelmingly reelected. The mayor of Chicago, who is just a total incompetent, who has turned a blind eye to this until it happens in front of her house. There's literally no accountability for anything that's happening here in the education system, in the judicial system, in any levels of government. And unfortunately, this is what you end up with. You end up with this absolute chaos because, as I mentioned before, if we just have these criminals, in and out the door, no recourse at all for their actions, well, then they learn that, crime is okay. We can get away with this. Well, the same lessons are being learned by our elected officials. If they continue to get reelected, even in the face of such amazing incompetence or unwillingness to do their job, well, what are we teaching them?
I think we've got a real problem with civic engagement in Chicago. We've only got about one-third of registered voters actually showing up to vote. In our local elections, that same pool of registered voters votes almost en masse, about 70% turnout, when we have a presidential election. So we have people getting into politics for the wrong reasons, and then we have an apathy that kind of breeds more apathy. On accountability, I think you're absolutely right. There's really no conception of it anywhere, not in the way that a lot of people are living their lives, and certainly not in public policy. So it seems mystifying. Why do these people keep getting reelected? I think a lot of people have just tuned out entirely, and they decide that the best they can do is mind their own business, get a gun, and try and stay safe. And that does nothing to change this entrenched system of political corruption and self-interest and that breeds apathy, which then breeds more of the lousy public policy that we have. I think in the end, people have to get engaged at the community level. Pastors, churches are stepping up. That has to happen more often. Families are stepping up. There are black women being trained as electricians on the south side of Chicago through church-related nonprofits. There are good things happening, but I think we have to amplify those stories, and we need a leader. We need a new mayor, a different mayor, quite obviously. Somebody like Eric Adams in New York. Guy may not be perfect, but it's a big improvement over de Blasio. So in Chicago, we need an elected leader of color to head the city, someone who will let law enforcement do their job, somebody who can work it with the prosecutor so the prosecutor will do their job, and someone who will stand behind more school choice, because failing schools, I think, is a huge part of this crime problem that we have.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that with you as well, too, because you did mention that the universities are responsible in part for what we're seeing here. But I would also argue that it is the K-12 schools that start that ball rolling. It's the curriculum that we're teaching these kids. We're not preparing them for the workforce. We're not preparing them for any future, but we are inculcating into them this idea of social justice and how there's really just one point of view on everything, and it's the right and wrong, and it really, you know, as we've seen with so many of these protests by the school teachers and all of these efforts to kind of hide what's happening in the schools, there's a major pushback. I was talking about this before we got you on about across the country at these school board meetings. But really, we're teaching these kids that there's really only one right way to do things, and it's their way. And then they get out of high school already prepared for the indoctrination they're going to receive in college to be taught all of this trash. And then what do we expect when they go into the voting booth?
Mm-hmm. And they're lacking the basic skills as well. It's quite correct that there's a great deal of indoctrination going on in the big city school systems, too. And what we see in terms of the standardized test results and the college, degree attainment data in Chicago, like in other big cities, is just horrible. I mean, we've got maybe one quarter of our 11th graders in the Chicago public schools are able to get the equivalent of a passing grade on the SAT test. Then there's a very important test I'm sure you're familiar with called the popular name is the Nation's Report Card. The technical name is the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Fourth and eighth graders are tested in math and English to see if they rise to a certain level that's called proficient. And we've got, well under one-third of all public school students in Chicago in the fourth and eighth grades are actually proficient, according to this crucial national test. When you get down to blacks and Hispanics, it's closer to one-fifth
Wow.
are proficient. So it's staggering. And then they've actually been tracking projections for what percent of ninth graders will have any kind of college degree 10 years later. And they're finding that 12.5% of black male high school students in Chicago will have any kind of college degree 10 years after starting the ninth grade. Then you look at the world economy, the national economy, you look at what's going on, You know, it's a great to have a job for some people as an Amazon delivery driver now. Guys are starting their own firms. They're getting microloans. It's a great pathway for ex-convicts. That's one thing I talk about, a particular program that's doing that in my book. But what happens when drones start to replace delivery vehicles, you know? Mm-hmm. You're going to need to be able to operate a drone panel, for instance, or have those kinds of tech skills 10 years from now. So there's an awful lot of stuff that's going to sneak up on us if we're not careful.
Well, and we are losing out to the rest of the world and as far as competition and as far as how well we're educating our kids. Earlier this week, I was going through some numbers, and we are 37th in the world when it comes to math skills. And and we spend more than every other country on the planet except for Luxembourg per student, and that's where we end up. Eighth in reading, 37th in math. I mean, it's criminal. It's criminal, and we have this massive teachers union and the NEA that just continues to push this kind of garbage and protect the teachers and not get rid of bad teachers and push this curriculum that is not educating and not preparing our young people for the future. What other choice are they going to have when they get out of school?
I think one of the big takeaways from what's going on in our big cities and even our mid-sized cities is that public policy does matter, that it can't just be for wonks and commentators and politicians to fuss and fidget over. If you start to see that there is some kind of push developing from your local teachers' union to try and restrict or block school choice, which is not just charters, as I'm sure you're aware, you've got to fight that back. If you start to see that there's something called bail reform that's being instituted in your county court system and that it's being twisted and perverted beyond its original legitimate aims, you've got to step up and shout about that and let whoever it is, your county council member, your city council member, whoever's got jurisdiction, you have to let them know about that. If you start to see that your city is running up a huge, huge deficit when it comes to the public employee pension monies that they will be owing in the coming decades, you start to see that the proportion of the city budget that's being devoted to paying people not to work because they're supposedly not able to manage their own retirement investments. You know, if you start to see that spinning out of control, you need to jump on it. And if your local newspaper and TV stations are not digging into that stuff, you know, people need to find, and this is something I've done in my life and career, you need to find ways to fund alternative news organizations who will dig into that stuff. People just really have to get engaged, because if you don't, well, they kind of count on you not being engaged because it's all a bit much. And meanwhile, you've got to get your kids to do the homework. You've got to mow the lawn and go to work the next day. It's not easy being a citizen.
No, it isn't.
In a free democracy, you know, it's not just entitlement. It's there are demands made of us. And on the whole, maybe we're not quite stepping up to the degree we need to in some of our big cities. The demands are greater there because the obfuscation and, you know, the dysfunction can become so pronounced.
Well, and, you know, you say just in the big cities, but I'll tell you here in Connecticut, it's actually it's a statewide problem. We have this massive increase in car thefts going on every single day. You read in the news or you see a video. I just watched one this morning from yesterday where a woman was gassing up her car in a rather affluent community, and somebody just walked right up, got in the car, and drove it off. Some woman in another affluent community here in Connecticut was putting her groceries in her car, and two young men came up and abducted her, beat her, threw her into the trunk of the car, or the backseat of the car, wherever, and just drove off with her car and then dumped her somewhere. And this is going on and on and on. And the reason I bring it up is, to your point, we have elected officials. The president of the Senate here in the state of Connecticut has been in office for over 40 years. And there's all these calls to bring to go to special session to address these problems that are happening right now, and they just ignore it. They say it's not happening. No. It's just a, the Republicans are trying to make political hay out of something that's just not absolutely not true. And that's the kind of apathy that we're getting from our elected officials here in Connecticut, and yet they continue to get reelected. Like I said, this guy's been in office for over 40 years, and he's just ignoring the problems in his communities.
Mm-hmm. I think rigged rules of governance can become a big problem. It sounds like that's certainly an issue where you are, and in Chicago it has been too. We need in our city council and for the mayor's office, we need term limits. We need independent mapping after each census of the districts. We have what are called wards in the City Council of Chicago, 50 wards. Those need to be independently mapped. Instead, once again, we have the politicians who are in favor of gerrymandering districts. So they pick the voters rather than the voters picking the office holders. We have politicians in charge of that again instead of an independent commission, which our mayor said she would back when she ran for office, but she's now backed off on that. And we need to have our elections in Chicago at the same time as the presidential elections rather than hidden in odd-numbered years and the early months of the year. That's how we end up with one-third voter turnout. And about the only people who show up to vote are public employee union members and, you know, ineffectual white progressives. So it's quite a combination of things. It really is. And then, too, you know, the plight of cities like Chicago or Bridgeport, Connecticut, or, you know, New York City or San Francisco or Seattle or Portland, Cleveland, Milwaukee. They're losing. The northeastern and northern Midwestern cities are losing out to cities in the south and southwest that have a much friendlier business climate, that have lower taxes, safer streets, and better schools. So there's competition internationally, which you mentioned, and which is super important. There's also competition within the United States, you know, Jacksonville, Greater Dallas, Greater Phoenix, among others. These areas are thriving and they're worth looking at. But what you get from the northern progressive elites is that they sneer at these places, you know, because maybe there's not enough Thai restaurants or something. You know, or there's,
true. No, I hear it all the time.
Too much country music, you know. Not enough of other stuff.
Well, they're and, rubes, don't you know? They're rubes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This whole thing.
Well,
so.
Mr. Rosenberg, I want to wish you great success with this book. I think it's a story that should be read across the country. What's happening in Chicago is a microcosm for what's happening all across our country, and we need to get more active and address these issues, or we're going to end up at the end of a very, very long and horrible road. The book is called What's Next? What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son by Matt Rosenberg. Sir, I want to thank you very much for your time here today.
I direct people to Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com for the book.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck.
And thank you kindly.
Sure enough.